This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to The Informer. I'm Sarah Amantanis here with Ruby Susan. Last Friday, the Equality Campaign hosted the first National Faith and Civil Marriage Equality Forum held at Parliament House in Canberra. Religious leaders from Christian, Jewish and Muslim faiths came together to discuss ways to support marriage equality because of their faith, not in spite of it.
We'll be speaking with Tim and Brett Brady from Australian Marriage Equality, Benjamin O from Catholics for Equality, Shifa Samad from Muslims for Progressive Values and Dr. Gavi Ansara from Rosh Pinna, an affirming Orthodox Jewish network. You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby Susan.
And I'm Sarah Amantanis.
And we are joined by Tin and Brady, like the bunch. He's been on Joy a few times now. Tin moved here from Ireland after the Irish referendum on same-sex marriage to help us with our own campaign. And he's now part of the Australians for Equality group that held the forum on faith and the civil right of marriage that was last Friday at Parliament House in Canberra. Tiernan, how did it go? How did this idea come about?
How's it going? It went really well. I mean, it was a really important conference to do, and obviously, like all conferences, it's only the beginning of something. I mean, what we found in Australia, which is very similar to Ireland, is the majority of people of faith are actually in favour of marriage equality. And yet, an awful lot of us presume that that's not the case, because all too often what we hear is the voices of certain leaders within those faiths. And yet all the polling shows us that those leaders aren't reflecting what the members of their churches believe. So we wanted to start bringing together all those voices of faith from across Australia who are in favour of marriage equality, so that people of faith can see, actually, this is something I'm supposed to be in favour of, and I can be in favour of it not in spite of my faith and not in opposition to my faith, but actually because of my faith. The same values that I have through my faith are the same reasons that I would support marriage equality.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do that in the broadest possible spectrum of faith. So we had wonderful speakers from all the Christian faiths, but also from Judaism and also from Islam. We had a wonderful imam and a wonderful activist from Progressive Islam talking about why this matters within the Muslim faith as well. And it's just so important that we find space for those voices to be heard.
What were some of the issues that were raised during the forum? Was there a lot of common ground?
There's a huge amount of common ground. I mean, when you think about it, most religions are based on a couple of, very strong values, respect for other people, the dignity of a human being, the idea that people should never be marginalized. And, of course, those are all reasons that you could support marriage equality. And yet all too often what we've had in the discussion is this kind of almost a gay versus God argument. And that's a bogus choice, when, in fact, what we want to do is allow people of faith to see marriage equality through the prism of their own values that they already have.
Yeah.
We don't need to tell people they have bad values and they have to change them.
Yeah.
We have to say, actually, your values are fabulous, and marriage equality matches them.
It can be difficult to be a religious LGBTI person, as that queer spaces often are not particularly open or friendly about religion, and religious spaces are obviously not always the most friendly places for LGBTI people. So what do you think can be done about making queer spaces more like open towards people who are LGBTI but also hold religious beliefs?
Well, I think the conference is one part of that. I think it's about giving people the confidence to express their support, because we know that so many people out there of faith do support it, but there's a genuine fear and worry, and that came through in the conference, from religious leaders about coming out in favour of marriage equality, because they believe that they might get smacked down from above, or they believe that some people in their congregations will be very annoyed. And as a result of that fear, they don't say anything. So I think one of the things we have to do is create opportunities such as the conference and such as religious groups for marriage equality and for LGBTI equality in general, so that people can hear those voices.
Do you think there is a chance that the areas in religious groups that are progressive remain progressive, but there is not a whole lot of communication outside?
I think there's definitely not enough communication between the groups. One of the things we found is there are already so many groups out there, you know, Catholics for LGBT equality, Catholics for marriage equality, and groups from all the other similar faiths. But they haven't got to meet each other. They haven't had the confidence that they're not alone. So we have to use the conference as a springboard to create more opportunities for those people to give voice to their values and to make clear that I am for marriage equality because of my faith, not in spite of it.
I'm sure if you've heard, but the Salvation Army in Victoria has recently come out in support of the Safe Schools program, which is an LGBTI education and anti-bullying program that has been quite heavily denounced by a number of religious bodies. So do you think that actions like that, like the public being very public with support, is that one of the more important things religious organizations should do, or is it more talking to their own congregations and changing attitudes there?
Well, I think like all things, the answer is it's a bit of both.
Yep.
But there's no doubt when the Salvation Army comes out and makes that report, or made that report public, which was brilliant, and other organisations do that, that gives strength to people on the ground to have the conversations on the ground. Because the real challenge is that people aren't sure they're the only people who feel this in the communities they live in.
Yep.
And we know that that's not true. It's just a really interesting one. When you look at the ABC Compass poll,
yep,
that was carried out last year, and that's one of the biggest polls Australia's ever had, 350,000 people.
Yep.
And a clear majority of people of faith were for marriage equality. And we have to find a way now for people who already believe this to celebrate that in a public way and to convince people within their congregations that it's okay to be for marriage equality, and we can do that in a way that's totally consistent and complementary of our faith.
So will you be holding it again next year?
Oh, I definitely next year, and I don't think we should wait a full calendar year. I think not just for the area of faith, but right across society, you know, the area of rural life, the area of business, the area of the trade unions, we have to make sure people can hear the argument for marriage equality from people who already share their values, from people
yeah.
who look like them.
Yeah.
And the more platforms we can create for that to happen, the more we will, you know, move people forward. The one thing I think all of us who are campaigning for this, and all your listeners are on this list, to remember all the time and be wonderfully confident about is we are no longer a minority voice.
Yep.
We are the voice of Australia. The clear majority of Australians are in favour of marriage equality, and we need to be positive and confident about Australia because they already have our backs.
We're speaking with Tiernan Brady, who's originally from Ireland but moved to Australia to help with the Australian Equality Campaign and was recently involved in the Faith and Civil Equality Forum that took place in Canberra on Friday. Thank you again so much for joining us.
Thanks a million.
The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby Susan, and I'm speaking with Ben O from the Australian Catholics for Equality organisation. Benjamin was attending the forum on Friday about faith and marriage equality. Thank you so much for joining us, Benjamin. So you've been a part of both the Catholic religion and LGBTI advocacy for a little while, is that right?
Yes.
And so how did you, so this was the first forum of its kind. How did you find the experience?
Really, really life-giving. I think often this conversation has been, if you like, dominated by voices, very loud voices, but often the voices in between are often not heard, and they are, if you like, the quiet but very supportive majority. Yeah.
There's definitely a perception in queer spaces that religion in general is has a problem with you if you're a queer person. What surprised you during the...
One of the interesting experience during this forum was, even though our experience were diverse, coming from culturally as well as, you know, faith diverse communities, the different angles and different nuances within our traditions and cultural backgrounds, but there are so many common strains, common aspirations, common hopes, common struggles, common challenges. And it's not just, if you like, the religious folks that those with religious backgrounds who have to deal with those issues, those without religious backgrounds also have to deal with the similar issues. But often, you know, the politics of division tries to polarize that. It was very life-giving.
What would achieving marriage equality do for Catholic queer people or Catholic LGBTI people?
Very important. I think it sends the strong message that in reality, majority of Catholics, as you and many people would well know, the Catholics amongst Christian and religious denominations has the highest amount of support, if you like. People, Catholic people, are are largely supportive of marriage equality, and they are. It sends the message that, you know, you are equal before the law as a fellow citizen, and you are. It is a matter of social justice, of course, for most Catholics. This issue of marriage equality, it's about the dignity of people. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, it's about celebrating their relationship. It's about loving people justly and fairly, especially our LGBTIQ siblings. It sends all of that message that you are my fellow sibling, you're my fellow citizen.
What do you think are some of the challenges that are faced by Catholic LGBTI people at the moment?
I think there is unfortunately a lot of censorship. I think I think over the years, different voices within the church, different leaders, have said things that are rather hurtful and diminishing and denigrating, even very often. Recent documents, as some of us who have seen from different parts of the hierarchy, have said things that are obviously about us and without us.
Yeah.
If they would have spoken to an LGBTIQ person's grandparent, their parent, their siblings, their family, or include them in the consultation, they wouldn't write something like that. It's appalling, some of the things that have been said about LGBTIQ folks, let alone LGBTIQ Catholics.
What do you think, what do you hope are some of the outcomes that we'll see from having this sort of a forum?
Oh, hopefully we can build more bridges. Bridges of having conversations are so important. I think in this space, there are people from if you like both sides of the conversations, that really need to see each other as a fellow sibling, a fellow citizen, no longer about objectifying people and people's relationship as issues, you know, for trivializing sort of debates. But it puts the dignity and the face of a human being at the heart of this.
What was your favorite moment from the forum? Was there any particular speaker or anything that was said that really resonated with you?
I think when Imam Noor Wasami quoted the Catholics and their experience, and when we had Rabbi Jackie Nino and our dear Dr. Gavi Ansara, when we are quoting each other for experiences, and it's just so cute, because you realize that the shared struggles are there, and all of us are not just. We are not just one thing. We are not just Muslims and Christians and Jews or gay or whatever our sexual orientation or gender identity or intersex status. You know, we are beyond all of that. You know, we are human beings first and foremost. To call for a new vision of inclusion and radical hospitality for one another.
Thank you so much, Benjamin, for taking the time to speak with us tonight. I do really appreciate it. We just spoke with Benjamin Oh from the Australian Catholics for Equality, who attended the Forum on Faith and Marriage Equality last Friday. Again, thank you so much for your time, Ben.
Pleasure.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9, and I'm joined by Dr. Gavi Ansara, the sounding coordinator from Rosh Pinna, the Affirming Orthodox Jewish Network. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Gavi.
Thank you, Ruby.
So you attended the forum last Friday that brought together faith and marriage equality. Now, you as an Orthodox Jewish man would have a particularly unique perspective. The Orthodox community is quite separate from the progressive or the other areas of the Jewish community. So what was your experience there as an Orthodox person?
Actually, my husband and I got a civil marriage, and we're the only strictly Orthodox couple who are open about it, who are in the Orthodox community in Australia. We know a couple of people who are traditional, who serve some, as far as the Orthodox community, we seem to be the only ones getting someone to step up and say, you're not the only ones, but so far we seem to be.
As far as the Australian LGBTI Jewish community, would you say that there are, what kind of challenges would an Orthodox young person face if they did realize that they were same-sex attracted?
So I think the challenges are really different for men versus women, and I think the challenges are different depending on which community they're part of. Although we hear a lot of nasty rhetoric in print and media, we need to be aware also that there are a lot of Orthodox rabbis that are very supportive, very welcoming, very inclusive. So I myself have experienced that many times. So although there are rabbis who are making very nasty comments to the press and demonizing and vilifying people, there are also rabbis who are very supportive, who are welcoming people into their synagogues, who are providing a safe place for them. And I think, I mean, a lot of bisexual people are telling me they feel completely invisible in the Orthodox Jewish community. I think there are different challenges depending on the individual situation. So, for example, when we have segregated seating, there's a women's section, there's a man's section.
Yep.
So if somebody wants to sit in the women's section or they want to sit in the man's section, but somebody else might think based on their assigned category that they should be somewhere else, that can be really uncomfortable and make it difficult for people to even walk in the door just to pray. And then for people who are non-binary, that's very uncomfortable.
Do you think the forum that was held on Friday was a positive step?
I thought the forum was amazing. Part of what was amazing about it was that it brought together people from so many different religious perspectives to share in truly holy spaces, truly holy reasons for supporting civil marriage equality. And the focus was on civil marriage equality. So there's a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of religious people are afraid that if we have civil marriage equality, state recognition, that that will somehow infringe on their rights.
Yeah.
And what was really clear after the forum was that it's actually a grave infringement on the religious freedoms of people whose traditions do allow them to sanctify people's unions, to not recognize civil marriage equality. The two are different, so no one will ever be forced. There's no proposal anywhere to force somebody to perform a religious ceremony for people that they don't choose to do that with. I know in Judaism, in Orthodoxy, you would never perform a ceremony unless both people were Jewish, because we don't believe that we have authority over anyone who isn't Jewish.
Yeah.
So in other words, our courts only rule within Orthodox Judaism. So the minute you get to someone who's not Jewish, we don't have the authority. They have to establish their own courts, which is why there would never be that imposition. Civil marriage equality is based on fundamental rights and freedoms that exist in general society. I think those are things that quite a few Orthodox rabbis do support.
If a same-sex couple who was Orthodox and Jewish in Australia wanted to get married, if marriage equality is passed, would there be someone who could perform that service?
I guess the difference would be civil marriage equality as a sort of secular social ritual that gives people all these rights and freedoms and protections of the state is very different from what was performed in the synagogue. So although overseas, I'm aware of rabbis who've talked about, for example, various kinds of union ceremonies, these specific rituals in Judaism, which would be equivalent to a religious marriage, are two different ceremonies called Kiddushin and Nisuin. And Kiddushin and Nisuin are very specific to a woman and a man. So I know in our case, we had a rabbi overseas do something for us that was a contract, because the marriage is essentially a contract in a religious context for us. And that contract that we have is very different from what a woman and a man would have, simply because it's a totally different situation. So I think civil marriage is very separate. What we're saying is that there are so many basic rights and freedoms and protections that are given to a woman and man that it's simply unethical, unjust discrimination to deny those civil societal privileges to same-gender partners who also want to be contributing members of a cohesive society.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Gavi. So again, this is Dr. Gavi Ansara, the sounding coordinator from Rosh Hinnah, the Affirming Orthodox Jewish Network. You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby Susan.
I'm Sarah Amantanis.
And we're joined by Shifa Samad from Muslims for Progressive Values. Shifa is joining us today to talk about the first National Faith and Civil Marriage Equality Forum that was held at Parliament House in Canberra on Friday the 18th. Thanks again for joining us, Shifa.
Thanks for having me.
Your organisation, Muslims for Progressive Values, how did this organisation start? How long has it been around for?
Yeah, so Muslims with Aggressive Values started in about 2007 in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically a group of Muslims that felt disconnected from the mainstream Muslim community and felt as if Islam promoted human rights, gender equality, queer inclusivity, and that they couldn't really find this within mainstream Muslim community.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off in the US, and now various groups have sprung up in South Africa, in Bangladesh, in Singapore, in the UK, and also in Australia.
How was the forum? How did it come together? Where did the idea start?
Yeah, so the forum was organised by A4E, so Australians for Equality, and also AME, which is Australian Marriage Equality. And basically it came about because we wanted to challenge the current narrative that was in the mainstream media and public, which was that it was God versus gays, and that it was basically all religion and all religious people opposed queer people and same-sex marriage. And it was basically trying to show that it's really not that black and white, and that there are shades of grey and nuance in the debate, and that there are Jewish, Christian and Muslim people, and also leaders from those faith communities to actually affirm queer people and support marriage equality from a faith perspective.
And so what was the conversation like at the forum? How long did it go for?
Yeah, so it was pretty great. There was a lot of queer people of faith, a lot of allies from a range of religious traditions, and it lasted from about 10 till 3 on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and we spoke about quite a diverse range of things and issues. So it ranged from really micro things, like, you know, one's personal experience, they had to navigate religious spaces which were really anti-gay, and then enter gay spaces which tend to be quite anti-religious or anti-religion, and the effect that that would have on someone's psyche and their identity. And then it also focused on macro issues that religious faith leaders found themselves going through. So one was this idea of religious freedom and marriage equality. We brought up things like macro religious issues that faith leaders had to deal with regarding their support around marriage equality. So one of them had to do with religious freedom and marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
And several of the faith leaders there were talking about how current laws prevented them from actually marrying queer people, and how for them that infringed upon their religious freedoms, because when they interpreted the scripture, religion and marriage equality actually went hand in hand.
Yeah.
And then there was other conversations about how mainstream religious groups tend to conflate civil marriage with religious marriage. And we also had conversations revolving around queer-inclusive interpretations of scripture.
I suppose it sounds like there was a lot of discussion around interpretation, which was, I suppose, is a pretty important aspect of religion and how it is implemented, and this idea that so what one person interprets as being ironclad, no, never, is not that way at all for the rest of the community. Is that kind of what was going on?
Yep. So there's a richness and a diversity within all religious traditions, and some of them, a lot of religious traditions will also be inclusive towards queer people, or there are interpretations that exist that affirm their identities and also that are supportive of feminism, women's rights, etc. Yeah.
Iman Noor Wassam was quoted in one of the articles I saw saying that Islam is a religion that promotes all human rights, which would include the rights of marriage. How would achieving marriage equality in Australia help LGBTI Muslims?
So I was actually talking to several of my other queer Muslim friends, and for a lot of queer Muslims, marriage equality is very important, but it's not at the moment the most important issue that they're facing.
Yeah.
So a lot of queer Muslims are experiencing homelessness. Oh. A lot are actually being forced to kind of pray the gay away,
yeah.
And that celibacy is the only option for them.
Yeah.
There are also a lot of queer Muslims within Australia who are engaging in marriages of convenience, which is basically when maybe a gay man will marry a lesbian, and then in order to kind of keep up the idea of being like a good son. Marriage equality is important, but there are other issues that need to be addressed as well.
Do you think that the LGBTI community in Australia is doing enough to support and to offer support for LGBTI Muslims?
The support from mainstream LGBTIQ communities is growing. It's growing. It's not the best, because as Imam Noor was saying, that a lot of the time he's asked for help from the mainstream queer community, and we haven't always received it. Yeah, which is unfortunate. But I think, for example, events like this are helpful for that. But I was surprised by how much commonality there was between between not only our religions, but the way that queer people of faith experienced their identities. In a way, I can kind of understand where the anti-religious sentiments come from within Muslim, the gay community. At the moment, it is still quite difficult to come out as a religious person within a gay space, which is unfortunate because there is this idea that minority groups will always be very embracing and inclusive towards other minorities, but I find that that's not really the case just yet. So I think one of the criticisms that came from this faith forum was this idea of queer Muslim being an oxymoron, and they would often kind of cite various like hadith literature, which was very anti-gay, and were basically saying that any sort of queer Muslim identity is an oxymoron, and because Islam is inherently against homosexuality. So I was basically wanting to just briefly run down what the kind of Islamic interpretation is, which is supportive of queer rights.
That sounds good.
Awesome. So within mainstream interpretations of Islam, it is quite against queer rights, but there's a growing body of Muslim scholars who are challenging these interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been argued in a similar way to the way that Islamic feminism emerged. It's been argued that for too long there have been really patriarchal interpretations of the Quran, and that led to a proliferation of female scholars, which then led to feminist interpretations of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And in a similar way, there was this idea that for too long, there's been a really heteronormative interpretation of the Quran. So there's now a growing group of scholars who are queer inclusive. And basically, like, the four points that they kind of say in a nutshell is that Islam emerged as a radically progressive movement that basically attempted to address power imbalances within the society. So it tried to uplift oppressed groups like women, like slaves, like orphans, and the poor. And this should be extended then to queer people.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that the main argument that Muslim people use against homosexuality would be the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. But a new group of scholars are basically arguing that in Sodom and Gomorrah, a lot of things were occurring, like gang rape, hostility towards travelers, that they were stealing from vulnerable people, and that it's unjust to equate this particular group of people from Sodom and Gomorrah to all queer people from all societies throughout the ages.
Yeah.
The third is this kind of Islamic concept of tawheed, which is oneness. And on a really superficial level, that can be meaning like the oneness of God. But on a much deeper level, it means the oneness of humanity. So regardless of your religion or your irreligion or your gender or your sex or your ethnicity, you're all equal before God.
Yeah.
And the fourth and final is that almost every single chapter of the Quran begins with the phrase that God is gracious and merciful, meaning that if God is the epitome of justice, compassion, and fairness, then all of our actions should be just, compassionate, and fair.
Yeah.
And that is completely in line with marriage equality.
Muslims for Progressive Values. So it's an international organisation. It's been around for 8 years and it's grown.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.